Hello, my loves. This is Tracy Sue, and you are listening to What Would Tracy Sue Do? I want to tell you about this way that I have found to make some money. So have you ever thought, I wish I could make some money right this second because tomorrow they're going to turn off my internet, or I need gas in the car, or this crazy bill just came up, or the damn dishwasher broke, or worse, the water heater or something, and I need money right now. I found this way to do it, and it involves driving for companies for restaurant delivery as well as grocery shopping. And I literally can go out and do a couple of hours of DoorDash or Grubhub or Instacart or Shipt or Postmates and have money in my bank account as soon as I make it. So I would love for you to check the show notes and get in on this with me because it gives me a great sense of security to know that whatever comes up, I can make money instantly to use to pay for that unexpected expense to, meet the gap between income and work and paycheck versus expenses. I don't know about you, but I've definitely noticed that my life is getting way more expensive and I'm not extravagantly spending. I'm buying the same stuff, using the same amount of heat, and my life is just getting so much more expensive than it was because, as I've said before, we're experiencing inflation and there's a secret recession going on. Anywho, what I want to tell you is that in the show notes, I've left some links if you want to investigate that more. And also on Facebook, I've been doing some live videos about my experiences working for several different companies and how that's going and what tips I've learned that maybe you could avoid and so on. So I just wanted to mention that before the show. And now let's get started. This is the second episode of 10 Ways Law of Attraction is Screwing Up Your Life and Everyone Else's. I didn't really think this was going to be a two-episode thing, but when I started recording it on What Would Tracy Sue Do with Tracy Sue, the podcast you're listening to now, when I sent it to my sound editor, he was like, hey, you only paid for an hour, and this is 2 hours and 20 minutes. I couldn't believe it. So obviously we have to break that up. The previous episode is last week. If you look at your little podcast app or go to the website, you just scroll down one. The website is Tracy Sue at, well, TracySue.com, not at anything. That's my email. TracySue@gmail.com if you want to email me. There you go. I do want to repeat some things that I repeated at the beginning of the next one because this is a very delicate sort of thing when it touches so close to home. And I don't care who you are, if you're practicing any kind of life or law of attraction or manifesting or trying to get anything, this is going to sound like you, something you have done. Let me assure you, especially if I know you, that this is not about you. Okay. This is also in number 10, which is at the end of this. This isn't about you. Either it's about me and something that I have experienced or some mistake or method or ritual that I have used that backfired. Or remember, I've been watching this, studying law of attraction for 13 years. I've seen people make the same mistakes over and over and over. So if you hear yourself in these, please know that I'm not pulling out one person's experience. I'm not calling out one person and being like, this is a mistake that law of attraction makes. No, I am seeing patterns. I'm seeing marketing. I'm seeing coaching sales spiels from scam artists. I'm seeing articles. I'm seeing videos. And I'm seeing people make mistakes that can be corrected if they understand that they're mistakes. They're mistakes in thinking or mistakes in ritual or method or even mistakes in what you ask for. That's probably the biggest one. Mistakes in what you ask for and how much you want to control how, when, with whom, in what little package, you're demanding that it comes in. So if you know me and you hear yourself in this, please note this is not about you. Either I've done it or I've seen a whole bunch of people do it and you're just one person. So let's get on with our show. With that in mind, I do want to encourage you to be lighthearted about this. If you have made one of these mistakes, just giggle at it because it's so cute. You're trying to get something that you want, and that's beautiful. That's brave. That's gorgeous. That's vulnerable. But let's see if we can get you what you want in a easier, more effortless, more educated and less naive, and a way that just incorporates more wisdom, shall we? All right, so let's get on with our show. Expecting all other laws of the universe to step aside because you asked for it. Expecting all the other laws of the universe to step aside because you asked for it. Law of attraction is not the only law of the universe, people. It is not the only one. All things operate under laws. We don't even understand most of the laws, right? Like physics, science. People who say, oh, I believe in science. I don't believe in spirituality. Oh, really? Because when I was in high school, they said the atom was the smallest particle in the universe. And now what do we have? Like a nano atom? Like we have these much, much, much smaller, much, much, much smaller particles in the universe, right? And we also have all of this black matter. So when I hear someone say, oh, I believe in science, I don't believe in spirituality, I'm like, well, you don't believe in very much then, because we probably know about 1% about the universe, and it's probably going to change when we get more knowledge. So that's a real flimsy thing to believe in. But to also only believe in spirituality and not science is so egotistical, to think that you're going to defy all of the laws of physics because you want a shiny red car or some such shit, right? No. Like, you are working within matter. You have to learn to manipulate matter based on what you know in a pragmatic way, right? In a pragmatic way. So if I want this podcast to be successful, my best shot at that is to look at marketing techniques and do some market testing and work out the kinks and have a strategy and do my research, right? You just don't throw yourself into a company and expect the universe to dump riches on you without doing the work. There is no passive income, people. The most passive income in my life is child support and rent. Okay, but they're not totally passive, right? Like, I have to raise children and feed them with that money and house them, right? It comes every month and I am not like doing heavy labor, but there's fucking labor involved. I have tenants in my house. Okay, well, that is not totally passive. I have to keep up the property. Yeah, there's money coming in and I'm not doing like an hourly gig. But when people tell you that you're going to make passive income in real estate or with some coaching formula or with some online program, that's bullshit. No. Passive income takes a long time to build, a lot of resources, a lot of energy, a lot of money, a lot of effort. And then even when it's passive, you still have to sell the fucker. Like if you make an online course and you think you're going to just leave it there and then all the riches are going to come in, no, you still have to sell it. You still have to advertise it and market it and tell people that it exists. That's work. There's no such thing as passive income. There are laws of the universe that work around with and within other laws, law of attraction. Like it's not the only thing. So you need to learn about the other laws. You have to learn about the laws surrounding the energy of money in order to make that work for you. Ignorance is not an excuse for the universe. The universe doesn't give a shit if, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, well, it still operated the way it operates, All right. Money isn't specific energy, and there are laws that surround that. And there are ways to use that to your benefit to achieve the wealth you are looking for. But you cannot declare law of attraction and expect money and the energy around money and the laws of reciprocity and exchange that govern that to completely change just because you're trying to attract something. No, if you want money, you have to learn what the laws of money are and what the other laws that affect money, so the laws of reciprocity and the laws of exchange and the other spiritual laws, and to be in integrity with money, you have to know something about money. You are not in alignment with money if you are breaking the laws of money. When we talk about alignment, it is not just sitting there in meditation and letting the energy flow from your head, your crown to your root chakra and the universe and being in alignment with some like mysterious energy. No! When you're in alignment with money, you've actually learned the laws of money and you follow them. Like, you actually have to look at the fucking interest rate. You have to look at the market. What you get paid is not as much about your worth as it is about your market value, which is not the same thing. It is not the same thing. That's a huge misconception in the spiritual world. Your market value is not the same as your worth. You are infinitely worthy of all good things. However, that does not mean that you get to make an infinite amount of money doing something that only pays $20 an hour. You have to be in alignment with the laws of money. If you are not, all the money in the world could come to you and run right through your fingers because what you do with it will not be in alignment with the keeping of it. Learn about the other laws. Learn about the other laws. I feel like Bob Proctor and Marianne Williamson, I'll try to find this and put it in the show notes. They had a great little course, little recordings that talked about 13 laws. And I listened to that sucker over and over and over and over and over when I first found law of attraction, when I first got introduced to these ideas. I'll see if I can find that. It's probably out there in the internet somewhere, and I'll put it in the show notes, a link to it, if I can find it. But that's a good place to start. Another place to start is to research what it takes to do what you're trying to do, right? If you want to be a successful real estate investor, you probably ought to pick up a book about that or go to a seminar about that and learn about the laws of money. If you want to be good at relationships, you might, you know, find out how to communicate well and look up how successful relationships actually work and date the right person and not violate the laws of how relationships actually are effective, right? There are ways to learn about the other spiritual laws so that your law of attraction is effective instead of defective, so that you are actually increasing the odds of getting what you want instead of running down paths or hurling yourself off a cliff onto the rocks and dying instead of taking a leap of faith. They're two different things, even though from top they may look the same. Let's go to, I'm going to change this around and do coaching for number 8. Coaching to procrastinate instead of doing is not going to get you what you want. Oh my gosh, friends, people, loves. There is a demon in coaching. This whole entire coaching atmosphere is polluted with certain demons that are hooking you. They've got their spiritual hooks in you. It's courting. It's sticking their fingers in you and promising you things that cannot result. They're promising you all the things that I've just told you are impossible. Cause and effect. It's actually a real law. Gravity is a real law. The laws of money are a real law. If you're going to these coaching things and expecting that they have some sort of secret magic juice that makes all the other spiritual laws of the universe defunct? That's insanity. That's crazy. These coaching programs are so fucking manipulative. And you are thinking that being naive, gullible, and stupid is an act of faith by signing up for a $20,000 program is absurd. Okay, I have seen some insane programs. $12,000 for a group that meets on Facebook? Are you fucking kidding me? Do you really think that spending $12,000 to talk to people on Facebook is a more effective way to grow your business than spending $12,000 on marketing and advertising? The ROI, the return on investment of that, is just so dumb and so unrealistic and so in violation and so in a breach of integrity that I can't even explain. Like, I can't, like, this just, oh, this is so frustrating to me. If I were willing to breach my own integrity, I would be so fucking rich right now from my business and life coaching business. Oh my God, I'd be so fucking rich if I had no integrity and was willing to tell you that if you signed up with me for $20,000 for my coaching program, your business would be $100,000 in 1 year, $100,000 business in 1 year. All you have to do is come to my private Facebook group and I'll teach you all the secrets, everything I know. But my soul won't let me manipulate people like that. My soul won't let me do that. My soul will tell you, hey, this is hard. It requires work. Are you ready to invest in that? My soul won't allow me to look someone in the face and know that if you buy my program, you can't pay your mortgage. My soul cannot look you in the face and say, yeah, my program is better for you than paying your mortgage and keeping a roof over your kids' heads. There are coaches out there who are 100% willing to do that. 100%. That's how they make their living, is by bankrupting gullible, naive idiots. Now, let me say, I pay for services. I pay for coaching. I do not pay insane amounts of money for coaching. If you're going to pay $20,000 to get a business formula, let me tell you, you can get exactly the same information for $2,000 and you can use that information for the duration of your business. For $1,500, I mean, good Lord, I'll give you the formula. You don't even have to pay for anything, I swear. People are giving it away on their emails and they're all selling you the same formula. Man, when I first started my business, I went to like 5 of these free seminars. Every one of them was teaching the same exact formula with the same exact binder, the same exact meeting planner, the same everything, and selling the same coaching product for the same ridiculous amount of money. What does that tell me? That tells me that all of these people, all of these coaches who made their six-figure businesses overnight, went to the same coach, got their formula, replicated it, got all the information for the vendors, went into massive amounts of debt to throw this event to get you to come in and do the same thing. It's not revolutionary. It's not a secret. After the seminar, you signed up for the $20,000 course, and guess what they teach you? What they already taught you in the seminar. Guess how they get you to sign up again? They overwhelm the shit out of you and tell you that you're going to fail unless you buy the more expensive product. People, this is not good business practice. If you're going to spend $20,000 on your business, spend $2,000 on a coaching program that will tell you actually how to run a business. And if you need a fucking friend, go make one. And if you need a psychotherapist, you can get that a hell of a lot cheaper than you can get a so-called life coach. And I'm saying this as someone who was in that industry and who is watching people make these tremendous amount of mistakes, who are just dumping money down these giant pits, promising things they cannot deliver because they're in violation of the other laws of the universe. You are not growing your business by spending money on coaching. There is a level of knowledge that you need that's actually pretty cheap. You can get all the information on the planet on Google, and you're going to spend $20,000 for someone to give you some handouts and some videos. What are you talking about? You're going to spend $75,000 so you can have a friend to give you good advice? Dude, a psychotherapist who's actually trained and is also using coaching practices, I might say. Some of the people I know who are actual therapists with master's degrees and certifications and liability insurance, you know, they charge $80 an hour. Like, you're going to spend $75,000 and bankrupt yourself and put your entire future in jeopardy and start your business with an enormous mountain of debt, and then call that growing your business instead of what it really is, which is procrastinating the actual doing of your business. Get smarter about this. Stop being so gullible. There is no overnight success that they're going to promise you that's actually going to be real. Come on. You deserve better for yourself. You deserve to give yourself something better than that. To take a legit course will promise you realistic things like, hey, I can help you figure out how to get a marketing platform up and running. Okay, great. That's usually what they show you in the, you know, $1,500, $2,000 beginning online course, right? I took one of those. It was great. I got what I needed. I learned a few things that I didn't know that changed the way I sell my products and that actually work, right? Totally worth the investment. Total leap of faith. Right? A leap of faith is like $1,500. It's not $75,000 in coaching. That was a $1,500 leap of faith that did not bankrupt my family. That was a sound investment that had an ROI, a return on investment that was possible and realistic. Spending $100,000 on coaching and not investing that money in marketing and advertising your business, it's not a good return on investment, because now you have to make $100,000 before you even spend a dime on marketing, before you spend a dime on help growing the business, on buying product to sell. Like, come on. There is a demon in this. And if you are hooked, you need to get rid of those hooks and think from a business perspective. Are you a business person? Think from a business perspective, is there a return on investment that's going to be more valuable if I spend this money elsewhere? Do I need to spend $75,000 for a friend or good advice? No. Just no, all right? To bankrupt yourself and call it a leap of faith and expect business success is to set yourself up for failure. Do your research. If you're going to start a business, figure out a sound business strategy that's actually going to produce product. Leaps of faith are best done when you've done your research and you know where you're leaping, for goodness sake. It is not throwing yourself off a cliff to the rocks below only to break your neck and die. That is not the same thing as a leap of faith. It's not. I had a terrible fear of public speaking. Oh my God, a terrible fear of public speaking. So I took a seminar. I paid $1,200 for the seminar. I fear public speaking far less than I used to. Was it worth $1,200? Fuck no. It was worth maybe $600 for the 3-day weekend, but all the garbage that they put online in their little, you know, online access masterclass or whatever the hell they were calling it was just a load of shit. Did they deliver their personal coaching? No. Basically, what they delivered was telling me that my idea was shit and wouldn't work, even though it did. Was it worth that? No. Have I ever taken an online course or been a member of a Facebook group that was worth $12,000? No. And you haven't either. And coaches who think you're worth this amount of money, well, shame on you. Hey, if you've got a billionaire as a client and they can afford to spend $75,000 on your services, more power to you. Awesome. Get it, girl. Get it, man. Go for it. If you're like an executive coach and you're working with CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, go Tony Robbins, whatever. But if you're Tony Robbins' little coaching assistant and you're calling me and you're telling me that I get 45 minutes on the phone with you and you won't even tell like what that's going to result in or what we're going to talk about or what we're going to teach, and you're just all vague and are you in? Are you in with your pressuring crap? No, you're not worth $20,000. I promise you that. A Facebook group is not worth $20,000. A mastermind is only as good as the people who participate in the mastermind. Stop it. If you're scamming people out of money, you're nothing better than a snake oil salesman. If you are selling coaching packages that you know your clients cannot ever afford and it's going to bankrupt them, stop it. You're out of integrity with what you're trying to do. If you're going to help people, you can't bankrupt them first. There is a difference between a leap of faith and a redirection of funds and an investment in a sound business idea or actual spiritual healing that you know is going to take work and time, and telling people what they're going to get in a realistic, proven way, then great, charge as much as you want. This is not about you not making money. I want you to make money. I wanted to make money. But if you're doing it by scamming people and putting them at financial risk and telling them bullshit that you cannot deliver on, then just stop it. Because you're building some pretty shitty karma. Okay, if you ask for things. Number 7, expecting it to be easy and to come how you want it in the package that you want it, okay? One of the worst things, I tell people this all the time, do not, please do not ask for patience or fearlessness. Because the only way that can come is by things repeatedly happening so frustratingly that you're forced to develop patience. It's not going to just magically, you're a patient person and everything's going to flow super easy and you're not even going to have to learn to feel patient. No, the only way that's going to happen is if things go so fucking slow and painstaking and frustrating that the only option for you is to develop patience. I would never wish patience on myself. Fuck that. You can only learn patience the hard way. The same thing with fearless. If you want to be fearless and you ask for that, guess what's going to happen? Everything that fear, that you fear, is going to happen to you. And it's not because you thought the thought and attracted it. That's bullshit. You're not like thinking about something and attracting it when that happens. That's total misconception. You ask to be fearless. To be fearless, you don't just like wake up magically and not fear things. You get presented with everything that scares the fuck out of you. And then you're spiritually required to move through it. And let me tell you, that's not fun. Like, that is not fun. So if you're going to declare, like, you know, people pick those words that they're going to do for a whole year, which I have totally done. And that's how I know this, right? That is how I know this. If you pick a word, it's going to teach you. It's going to teach you. If you pick contentment, you're going to have to earn it by having a whole bunch of things that discontent until you learn how to be content in the face of things that are going to go wrong. You're going to learn patience, not just experience the end result. You're going to learn how to not be afraid in the face of scary ass shit. Not just wake up magically one day and be confident. No, some things must be earned, all right? You don't develop confidence unless you actually go do it scared as shit. no one develops fearlessness unless they have confronted their fear. So be careful what you're asking for, because obviously some paths will give you things that you think you asked for, and they're giving it to you. Like, be careful what you wish for. That's a common phrase. And I'm going to go with that because, you know, I mean, I have declared certain words like easy. Oh my God, it had to be so fucking hard until I learned to make it easy. That's how I have the wisdom to tell you to set yourself up for success, because the year that I said it was going to be easy is also the year that I overwhelmed the fuck out of myself and made it so much harder than it needed to be. Set yourself up so that it is easy. That was the lesson that I learned. And take it easy. Receive what the universe does easily within yourself, and be easy about it, and be easy on yourself. But none of that wisdom came like some kind of enlightened drop from the universe. It was hard fucking won. Hard won. 1 year, I put a picture of the cover of The Big Leap on my dream board, and it's a great book. You should get it. And it's a very useful book, and it talks a lot about a breach of integrity and how that is working in your life. I highly recommend it. It's by Gay Hendricks, I think. Hendricks or Hendrickson. I'll put a link in the show notes for that. But it's called The Big Leap, and it's a picture of this fish who is jumping out of a fishbowl into a much larger fishbowl. But the fish is in the air. So I put a picture of this, and the whole year I kept saying, oh my God, I feel like a fish that can't get any air. I feel like a fish, I can't get any air. I feel like I can't get enough air. And then like I looked at that and went, oh no shit. And I had to cut that fish and paste it in the bigger fishbowl. Like, you're getting what you're asking for. You just might not like how you are getting it, because some things just have to be learned. Number 9, there is a difference between delusion and vision. There is a difference between delusion and vision. Delusion is when you look at a person and instead of seeing who they are and asking whether they're compatible with your goals and how you want to live, and if they're a actual good partner for you, and looking at the same person and going, you're a great partner for me, and this is going to work, and here's why, and trying to make them what they're not. That's a delusion. That is a delusion. Meditation can only go so far. Mantras can only go so far. They can't change other people. And to insist that reality, that the reality we're working with on this planet actually isn't there, does not change reality. Okay, so I've heard people say, oh, the Me Too movement perpetuates this. No, it doesn't. Telling the truth allows us to see it and change it. Being silent is how it has persisted over thousands of years. Being silent about how women are treated in this world does not stop that from happening. Otherwise, it would never happen at all, because silence is the darkness, the demon that it feeds on. Telling the truth allows us to see it and change it. Pretending that the truth is not there is a delusion that will never result in success. Pretending that the truth is not there will never result in success. Pretending that real problems are not real does not result in the elimination of those problems. Seeing those problems, acknowledging those problems, acknowledging and allowing your own feelings, whether they feel good or not, is the power that lets you figure out how to change it. Okay, so you can't just say a mantra, oh, all women are equal, all women are equal, all women are equal, all women are equal, and then it's true. Right? Because why wouldn't we have already done that? No. To look at the numbers, look at the reality, to listen to the stories of other women, to experience your own feelings and tell the truth about that gives you the power to see what needs to be changed and to act appropriately to change that. So instead of a mantra, women are all equal, women are equal, women are equal, women are equal, we have equal representation. It doesn't matter who the president is, if it's a woman or a man or whatever, we're equal. That's how we should behave. No, that's not correct. Denying what's right in front of you does not make it not in front of you. But looking at it and going, okay, let's go back to, instead of a mantra, you ask a question. Gosh, what would it be like if women were equal? What would it be like if women were equal? What would we have to do to make women equal? Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting to an action that can result in something. What would it be like if women could walk down the street without being afraid? What would it take to do that? Oh, okay, well, we could create a culture in which that is such a horrific act. Rape is such a horrific act that it's equivalent to child molestation. Okay, well, how would that happen? Well, men would need to have that happen, right? Men would have to develop that culture. Okay, well, how could we encourage men to do that? Well, we could tell them about the real effects of what's happening to us and what is actually happening to us so that they have an understanding of how it impacts us and therefore impacts them and all of the women in their lives, like their mothers and their children and their whatever. And then maybe we create a consequence for that, right? Like maybe we just don't go with dudes who are disrespectful. Maybe they don't get laid. Like maybe we use our own resources to take back our own power. That is the chain of questions that leads to change. The delusion is to look at something and then pretend that it's not what it is. That's a delusion that does not lead to change. It keeps you stuck. It keeps you stuck. Passivity does not lead to change. People who have effected change, real change in our world, have not been passive or silent. They have not been passive or silent. Jesus wasn't silent and he wasn't passive either. And neither is the Dalai Lama. He's not silent, he's speaking. And Martin Luther King, not silent. Muhammad, not silent. Gloria Steinem, not silent. Oprah, not silent, right? These are world changers. Mother Teresa, not silent. These are people who changed the world and the collective consciousness, and they didn't do it through silence. They didn't do it by pretending that what is happening isn't happening. That is not how Martin Luther King changed the world. Okay, it's not how Nelson Mandela changed the world. I'm not advocating for violence, but it sure as fuck didn't happen because of silence or mantras or meditation. It happened because they were brave enough to look at the truth, speak the truth, ask the question, how can we fix this? And then respond with action that actually changes things. Your delusion is only protecting the status quo and whatever experience you're sitting in, wishing you were not sitting in. You looking at a potential romantic partner and believing that person's no longer a narcissist because they've changed or whatever, instead of looking at that person and going, oh, you've cheated on and abused every single woman you've ever been with. Maybe I shouldn't even mess with you, instead of believing that I'm the one person who's going to love you enough to make you a nice person. No, look at that narcissist, that person, that incompatible partner. Turn the other way. Walk in the path consistent with what you really want, which is a healthy, loving relationship, and wait for the one that actually can give you that. Be willing to be alone. Be willing to witness what is true. Be willing to open your own eyes. Be brave. This is brave. And none of those people that I talked about changed collective consciousness by themselves. I'm just going to change the meaning of this word. I'm going to just change the meaning of the word so that, you know, it doesn't affect me. Wrong. Wrong. You're one person with a tiny, tiny, tiny little belief on the scheme of things, with all of these other people involved. And there's a collective consciousness, which I'm definitely going to do a show about because it's such a fascinating topic. How billion people, 7 billion people can agree on things like we exchange money as our exchange. Like, think about that for a second. Oh, everyone on the planet somehow has tuned into this and it's in the collective consciousness, right? So you believing something about money that the collective consciousness has not also agreed on is worthless. You believing that anything is going to change besides what is in your tiny little life, like, you cannot do that alone because it's so much bigger than you are. Every single word has a collective consciousness behind it, creating a definition, a denotation, a much broader sense of the word, right? And it has big power because all of these people agree on it. But you're going to change the meaning of it in your own life? I'm sorry, but you're just not that powerful. You have to have other people also involved in something that big. And hey, oh my God, why would you make it so fucking hard instead of just deciding that you're going to go with another word? Why? Why would you make that so fucking hard? I see people do this all the time with their word of the year. Like, stop. Stop. Don't. Like, don't make it that hard. Choose something easier. Set the stage for success. Okay? This brings us to number 10, which is very tied to number one. It's not only about you. Okay? It's actually not about you. This whole idea that what other people are doing is simply a reflection of what you're doing is not true. It's a way to control the other person, thinking that we can change our own behavior and therefore change them. No, that's the same fucking thing as codependence. It's a way to try to control the outcome by controlling another person, by believing we're responsible for how they behave. That's a sickness. That's not true. That's not helpful. It isn't only about you, you fucking narcissist. Oh, that's a joke. Relax. Relax. A narcissist doesn't surround himself with other narcissists. If you run into a narcissist and find yourself being manipulated, it is not because you're a narcissist. It's because you're a gullible person that they want energy from. Narcissists don't get energy from other narcissists. They get energy from spiritually awake people who have something for them to take to further their own narcissistic desires. There's a huge collective consciousness that's happening. Women are not getting paid less because they don't feel worthy, like on an individual basis. That's just not fucking true. It can't actually be true that 50% of the population suffers from such a dramatic low self-esteem and therefore only own 1% of the world's property and 1% of the world's wealth. No. That actually is a truth because force and brutality were used by men to make it true. And to pretend that that's not real, to pretend that if we're surrounded by poor women, it's because we don't feel worthy or because that's a reflection of us, is so dumb. That's a collective consciousness. It's not just about you. There are 7 billion players in this game, and that's only the people who are here right now. That doesn't even count all the energies that are not in physical form on the planet Earth at this very moment. There is a much bigger world out there, and to pretend like you're the center of the universe is arrogance and narcissistic in and of itself. You don't run into people that are reflecting you back to you, okay? I'm looking at my coaching clients and I always watch for this. I always watch for this. I speak something out loud and then I think, oh, was that meant for me? Or can I get something out of that for myself? That's a pretty healthy thing to do because we project, not because we only attract people in our own circles who are just like us. Okay. That happens. Yeah, I see myself reflected in other people because I'm projecting myself and my own experience on other people, not because I attracted people with the same characteristics of myself, which maybe sometimes I do. Maybe that's in my friend group. But if I want to help people, if that's my motive as a coach, if that's my motive as a speaker, as a thought leader, as an influencer, as a writer, if that is my motive, guess who's going to be in my world so that I can accomplish that motive? Yeah, fucked up people who need help. Yeah, I might hang out with some other helpers and healers and people who want to help other people. Yeah, I probably hang out with some of those. But if I'm looking around and I'm being like, oh, why are the people in my life kind of fucked up? Oh, is it because I'm fucked up? Or is it because I have said that my purpose, my ambition, the thing I want to do that's going to give meaning to my life is to help fucked up people. What do I need to fulfill that purpose? Fucked up people, people who need help. This does not make me fucked up. It satisfies my purpose. It satisfies my own sense of meaning. Dude, when I stopped saying my goal was to help people, guess what? All the people who were sucking energy out of me in my life because they needed my help disappeared. They disappeared. So if you're going to change a way of behaving, if you're going to change anything, anything, if you're going to declare something, it's going to affect other people and they're going to respond. You cannot control their response, and it may have a reaction you don't like. For instance, I noticed a pattern in my own life where I was not receiving reciprocity. I was giving, 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 and giving because I had declared I wanted to give things to people, right? I was helping, 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 helping because I had declared that my purpose was to help other people. I never declared that my purpose was to receive, right? In order to fulfill my purpose of giving, I don't assume that reciprocity will happen. That has to be part of my intention, right? What I find when I do that is people who want something from me. They want energy from me. They want me to give them something, but I'm not requiring that reciprocity. I see that pattern. I make a declarative request to the universe. The only people in my life are going to reciprocate what I give them in an equal way. And guess what? My heart is crushed. It's devastated. It's saddened. It's grief. It's shock. It's trauma from the immediate abandonment, critical verbal lashing of some of the most important people to me. Because they were there, because they needed what I wanted to give. When I didn't want to give it anymore, what I wanted to happen, what I thought I could make happen with my declarative statements, was that the people who were currently in my life would begin to give to me, would begin to reciprocate. But that's not the foundation on which our friendship relied. Our friendship relied by our match as giver and taker, not reciprocity, giver and taker. And I gotta tell you, man, when I made that statement and I saw who left, my heart grieved. My heart still grieves for some of those people. Massive amount of grief. When I demanded a better marriage, guess what I had to go through? A divorce. When I insist a certain kind of relationship, I have to walk past a lot of people who cannot fulfill that. My heart yearns for a great partner, but I don't yearn for a bad marriage with the wrong person. And I'm playing the long game here. And that means that when I find myself engaged with the wrong person, I have to leave or they have to leave so that I can fulfill my greater desire, my deeper purpose, which is to have a loving, beautiful marriage to a partner that is perfect and compatible for me and with me. Perfect for me, not a perfect human being, but a perfect match to me. In other words, you're weird and my weird, they go together. They're not in conflict. But in order to have that, I have to look at that person and see them with clear, open eyes and get real about what they can really give me, how they can reciprocate, who they really are. I can't lie to myself about that person and expect myself to get the kind of relationship I desire. No, I have to tell the truth to myself. I have to see the truth. I have to declare a reciprocity, right? If I declare a reciprocity and I'm dating a taker or a narcissist, that's going to end, right? Because my deeper, more powerful desire does not involve that. Recently, I came to this realization that, you know, one of the issues in my marriage and in so many marriages and relationships around me, I realized that there was a pattern where they wouldn't allow each other to change, right? So my going on the spiritual path I'm currently on was considered a violation of the relationship by my ex-husband. I wasn't allowed to pursue my spiritual path because he had already outlined what that was gonna be for us. Oh my gosh, I grew up in the Mormon church and I cannot tell you how many people, like, you're not even married to a person, you're married to a principle or an organization or a group of ideas that you believed at one point. But if the other partner has questions, changes, doesn't believe anymore, shifts into a new way of being or thinking, shifts priorities, explores something new, it's a violation of the relationship. When I came to this realization, I thought, oh, cool. All right, this will help me attract better people in my life. And I thought about the people in my life who I might lose, you know, super critical people who were not going to be cool if I changed or shifted. And I'm going through a massive transition right now. Everyone is. So it's imperative that if someone comes into my life, it's imperative that I be allowed to change and shift, because we're going through such a massive transition right now that I didn't make a dream board for the first time in 13 years. And I didn't because I don't know where this is going. And I don't want to tie myself into a demand for some specific thing before I can see what this transition is and get used to the energy. Because bad shit can happen, right? So I'm being open and surrendering to the process as much as I can. But I write down this declarative statement on December 15th. I looked at the people in my life and thought, oh, I think I'm good here. Nobody's going to, you know, leave or whatever. And then the people who are in my life are going to be non-critical, non-judgmental, and allow me to explore and change without considering it a violation of the relationship. And oh my God, within 15 days, I receive a scathing, judgmental, critical, harsh as fuck, completely out of the blue. Like one day where, you know, I'm cleaning her house with her and being the most amazing friend, and I'm so glad we're this close, and, you know, I'm going to move down the street from you. 15 days later to just harsh, backstabbing criticism and judgment and meanness and attacks on my transition. I didn't see it coming. I had not identified this person as one who was holding such critical judgments, because that's not what she was saying to me in person. In person, she was saying extremely supportive and understanding things and, you know, you're growing, awesome, spiritual enlightenment, da 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 da. I think that was a good choice, blah, 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 blah. No, evidently that's not what she was thinking. That's what she was saying, not what she was thinking. And to get that shock does create a trauma. Oh, I didn't know. That wasn't about me. It was about her. I'm not going to make that about me. Like, her shit is her shit. I mean, I checked in with other people. Are you seeing this in me? No? Okay, great. She's protecting what she wants to protect about her own life, right? Not about me. That was projected onto me. That's what I'm saying. It's not about you. Not everything is about you. That wasn't about me. For me to take all of that critical, harsh judgment onto myself and believe the things about myself that she was saying and being like, oh, all this just garbage. Oh, it's mine. I need to heal it, whatever. No, it's not about me. It's hers. Just project that shit right back like a mirror. Just bang, bounce off, return. Not mine. But also acknowledge that for my greater good, I asked for these people to not be in my life, to have other kinds of people in my life. And guess who else threw shit at my direction? Big time, harsh, extreme shit. My mom, my dad, and my brother. Like, that was a fun week. Like, and it happened so much faster than things used to happen, right? So much faster than things used to happen. And to look at your feelings and judge yourself as stupid doesn't help. It doesn't create a better future. You're not going to attract better things by judging yourself critically for choosing that person or not seeing that or believing that what they're throwing at you is a reflection of you. That is not helpful. To look around and go, wow, that was a shock and it hurt. And it felt like a stab in the back and I'm grieving and it makes me very sad or it makes me very angry or it makes me very frustrated or confused or whatever you're feeling is not a bad feeling. Anger is not a bad feeling. Fear, not a bad feeling. Sadness, not a bad feeling. Okay. When you let yourself experience the feeling without shoving it down and insisting that you're fine, then insisting, throw your happiness mantra at it, and I don't feel the way I feel because I'm supposed to be happy all the fucking time. That doesn't actually bring happiness. But to look at your feelings and show yourself compassion and be like, you know what? That wasn't about me. I've checked in with my trusted people and I know that that's not what they're seeing in me. It's not what I'm feeling within me. So that must be about that person. And I'm just going to send that right on back. Or with my family, I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to play the role that I've been cast in anymore. I've tried to change it from within. I don't know what to do except for step back. And of course, that was also the result of that declaration. Judgment, criticism, demanding that I be in a specific box, behaving in a specific way, disallowing growth. Yeah, that's going to affect the people who want me in a box, who want me to believe what they believe, who don't want me to grow because that infringes on their experience in the world. They want to change me. They want to make my free will choices. They want to determine my values and how I live. See, when you're the person being infringed on, you know this is not cool. This is a terrible thing that needs to stop right fucking now. But when you're the one infringing on others, demanding that they be a different way for you, it's a very different experience, right? One is like, get the fuck off me. And the other one is frustrated, like, come on, do something for me. Like, neither one is a great experience, and it's a real hard balancing act, especially with relationship, right? I'm not making any decisions about anything right now, except for I'm going to keep doing this podcast, and I'm going to make some money doing the driving. I am not making any permanent choices right now about my family relationships or my friendships or my future, because we're having such a major transition right now that I almost didn't even do this podcast because I think things are going to drastically change within the next month to where maybe this whole podcast is irrelevant. I don't know. I'm doing it to stay in integrity with my commitment to do it once a week. I'm doing it because this is what I see right now. that I may listen to this a year from now and go, oh, all of it's changed now. Half of that isn't relevant. I don't know, but we only have what we have today. That's the last thing I would like you to hear, okay? I'd like you to take this with you. You are where you are, and that's okay. If you're angry, you're angry. If you're sad, you're sad. If you're frustrated, you're frustrated. If you're depressed, you're depressed. If you're drinking, you're drinking. Like, these are feelings. Feelings don't necessarily tell us the truth. They're definitely not wrong. They definitely shouldn't be silenced and tamped down. Don't judge them. They just are what they are. And ask questions. Why am I feeling sad? Well, I'm feeling sad because my friend totally exposed herself as someone who judges me harshly and left my life abruptly, unexpectedly, and shockingly, and that makes me sad. Okay, sadness is an appropriate feeling there. Just be brave enough to be sad. I'm angry because, you know, my family just screamed at me about having a hard time and just threw all this garbage at me about who I am that has nothing to do with me. I'm pissed off. Okay. I'm pissed off. That's a perfectly legitimate response. It doesn't mean anything negative is going to happen to me. I'm just feeling it. I'm not doing anything negative about it. I'm not dwelling in it for 30 years. It's a feeling. Allow your feelings to happen. Be where you're at. Be okay with where you're at. And then just, oh, okay, well, I'm angry. What would it be like if I was playing a different role in my family? What would it be like if they saw me and accepted me for who I am? What would that be like? You know, just, I don't know what to do here. What should I do here? Self, soul, God? We're in a massive transition. Be easy with yourself. Be easy with yourself and where you're at right now. In a year, you will not be here. What you do right now, however, will determine where you'll be a year from now. We don't know what's coming. What we know is pick a couple values, a couple priorities. Be open to the way that the results come. Don't insist that they're a different way. Don't lie to yourself. It doesn't serve. Don't lie to yourself. Don't shut your mouth. Express what needs to be expressed. Live in integrity with your own being and your own deeper desire with the long game in mind. Be in integrity with your own self, your own values, your own being. Be in integrity with where you want to be over the long haul. Not immediate gratification. Build something of value that can last. Don't chase that next social media thing. There's going to be another social media thing. Build something lasting. Don't invest all your money in having someone hype you up into a nice little high that can make you believe that you're successful if you give them a crap ton of money. Take a step back and do the math. Take a step back and do the math. If you feel like you're not getting something, take a step back and look at what you are getting. And figure out how that ties to what you asked for and look at the conflict between what you're asking for. An easy illustration of that would be when I wanted to lose some weight after Zach was born. And so I put on my dream board that I was a size 8 and I was 125 pounds. Well, guess what? I was a size 8 and I was 150 pounds. They were in conflict. They were not the same thing. They were two totally different goals which could not be met in the physical world because they were incompatible. So one of them had to win. And the only way that I like actually came to this realization is that I never got to 125 pounds. But I got to a size 8 pretty easily. And then I just kind of stayed there because I guess the size of my pants was more important to me than the weight of my body. I don't know. I don't know. Probably. My eating habits weren't consistent with 125 pounds. I don't know. Like now I don't even say a certain pound. I say I want to feel good in my body. Like the closer I get in law of attraction, you know, objects are really fun to attract because there's this tangible thing that's in your hands. I like to attract objects. It's so much fun. You can find this tangible thing and you put a challenge out to the universe and the universe finds it easy to fulfill. I love that. And then even putting conditions on that, that it has to come at a certain price or in a certain color. Like I think that's really fun. But on the broader things, like I hardly ever put objects on my dream board anymore. I put bigger projects and the really good stuff, the big projects kind of take more than a year to build. And it's going to be a lot more fun if I'm building it one piece at a time and not making my life a living hell with stress and overwhelm. And if I say I want to feel good in my body, that leads to, you know, what would my life be like? How would I feel in my body if I just didn't care about sugar? If I want to feel good in my body, what does my body feel like when I'm dancing and doing kickboxing and yoga? Oh, my body feels freaking great. Okay, more of that. Like, what does it feel like if I don't care about alcohol at all? Or if I don't think about cigarettes at all? What does it feel like? Well, it feels pretty fucking liberating. That's what. It feels liberating and it feels good and I have more energy and my brain isn't all sloshy. What does it feel like when I am alone versus being in a relationship with someone who doesn't love me and insists that I'm someone that I'm not? Oh, well, it feels a lot better to be alone and accept who I am and wait for the person who's a really great match for me because there's an understanding that I have based on learning from experience that marrying the wrong person can be a living hell. And I don't wish that on myself. And so I'm not going to create behaviors like dating the wrong people for extended periods of time. Like I broke up with someone not too far past, I don't know, like, I don't know, 6 months, a year ago. He was an alcoholic. Guess what I've learned in my life? I'm not going to be happy with an alcoholic. Well, why was I dating him? Because I was having a fucking year and I gave myself permission to just fuck off for a year. And that's fine. That's okay. It's something I did consciously that I knew was not going to last. And I just felt like I needed it. Like I just needed a fuck it year. So I had my fuck it year. But when I was done with my fuck it year and I stopped drinking, guess what? This guy was not exciting to me at all. At all. And I know enough now to know that I'm not going to change him. Like I'm not going to be your mommy babysitter who monitors how much you drink. I already played that game. I already know how that game ends. I'm not going to attract alcoholics for the rest of my life because it's not alcoholics that I'm attracting. It's alcoholics that I've been attracted to. And my idea that I can love them enough that they won't need the alcohol and they'll change or get sober is a faulty idea. And since I can't control them, my experience from dating alcoholics a lot and being raised by one and being married to a couple is that I'm not going to bang my head against that wall anymore. And if I had to just learn that lesson one more time as serious confirmation to know that it's never, ever, ever going to happen again, then so be it. But I dated an alcoholic. So what did I find myself in relationship with? Duh. And do I care about myself enough to walk away? And do I believe that if I just hold out, there is a compatible match out there? God damn it, that's hard to believe. Right now, after the last couple of years, that is hard to imagine, actually, let alone believe. It's hard to imagine. But it's not hard to wonder. I wonder what it feels like. Huh, I wonder what it's like to be married to someone who's like, can see me and likes who I really am and is supportive and loving. Like, I wonder what that's like. I wonder what that's like. Well, universe, why don't you show me that? Show me that. All right, people, those are my 10 things, 10 ways that you're using law of attraction to ruin your life and everyone else's. I'm going to leave in my show notes the resources that I've mentioned, the books that I've talked about, classes, the shipped driving business thing, I'm going to leave those in the show notes. So go and find those. Don't miss anything. So you should subscribe at TracySue.com. That's TracSiouX. You can subscribe on your podcast app or through the website. And I'm on Facebook if you want to look me up, Instagram as well. And, you know, share this with other people who you think might bring something to the conversation or get something from the conversation. My intention here is to create a community, and my purpose is no longer helping people. So, have a great week and enjoy this transition and be open and be easy on yourself during it, and have the long game in mind.